Okay, good morning. This is Marcy Schuler with 307 Net Radio, and I'm here this morning with Charles Oskey, the superintendent of schools at Johnson County School District Number 1.
Good morning again on this wintry day.
I've got a couple of questions. I saw in the news about some different things going on in the legislature. The state legislature for Wyoming has three primary functions. So they make laws, they research, they write, and they pass legislation. That's kind of their basic. They perform an oversight for the executive branch. But it seems like we're seeing a lot of the writing and passing legislation. Maybe it'd be easier if we talked a little bit about the research part of it. I know you're really knowledgeable about school district funding and the laws that govern the districts. You've been doing this a long, long time.
Yeah, I learn every day. there's something, but yes, definitely. What happens at the state level during legislation does have a direct impact, and education always is. There's always a focus point, whether it's policies on what we do with attendance or how we fund things. There's a lot of things, and there's a lot of bills this year. I want to say there's 150 bills on both sides, just in the educational piece, that are coming to the table in reference to policies that could be in place that us as districts would be held accountable for.
So why is there a need for so many new laws? Don't we already have policies and procedures in place?
We do. The state does provide funding, and the funding model, we could talk about that in a whole other three-hour session. But the reality is there is still this fear. We're post-COVID. We talk about CRTs. We talk about some different things. We talk about corporal punishment. They're also talking about allowing concealed weapons into public meetings, which would include schools and things of that nature. So there's just a lot of things out there that I think sometimes there's a misperception, and to kind of talk about even the critical race theory. The state of Wyoming hasn't even adopted a critical race, nor is that something that we have done here in Johnson County.
Okay, wait. So there's a lot of people who would tell you that absolutely critical race theory is indoctrinated in our schools. It's pervasive. So you're saying it's not? Can you explain that?
So when we say it's not, it's not a adopted curriculum. So we don't have a critical race book, or we don't have a critical race, curriculum that's in place related to that. And so that misinterpretation is what we're teaching is critical race. Now, a lot of these things, and similar to what our books are in libraries, have been in our libraries for maybe 30 to 40 years, and kind of how you do that. Education has changed. It's more about resources than textbooks. And maybe some of the verbiage in there where we need to be a little more sensitive to what that looks like. But to say it's intentionally being taught in schools in Wyoming or a majority of the states around the United States is a misperception. And then there are things that people are looking at. It's that, again, it's that communication with your principals and your teachers and understanding this difference between curriculum. I always use the word standards. We have a set of standards we have to teach to, which now they're reducing the number of standards, or what we call priority standards, what we should be teaching to, what that looks like. So that comes out of that profile of a graduate. What do we want a Wyoming graduate to look like? So right now, they're looking to take the math standards and almost maybe cut them in half, or studies or science.
So you're saying the legislature's doing that? Or
yes.
Who's doing that?
There's legislation out there, there's surveys out there that would take a look at developing a plan to reduce the number of standards.
So why would we want that?
We talk about the basket of good being too large.
Explain the basket of goods.
So the basket of good is the whole, is everything that we are required to teach in order for a student to get a high school diploma. So, it's the number of years of English, math, science, social studies, electives, and all of those type of things. So what's required in order for a student to be successful, because part of the requirements is every student is college or career ready, or military ready. So part of that is there's a set of expectations that every kid should be proficient in these areas in order to receive a high school diploma. So when we say the basket of goods, it's all the things that we're required to demonstrate that kids are at least proficient in those areas and that a high school diploma has a value.
So I know it's impossible probably to give a yes or no, but what's your feeling in a nutshell about reducing the math? You talked about the math standard cut it in half.
So it's about really coming back to the process, everything that we've done. So part of this is all 48 school districts in the state of Wyoming were given, hey, here are all the standards. You develop your own priority standards. So there are 48 school districts that have different priority standards, all right? So this is more of a process of maybe saying, okay, maybe all of us should be teaching the same priority. And it might not come out that we're going to reduce them. We're going to actually just more align to what we're doing so that there is, when a kid graduates from with a high school diploma around the state of Wyoming, we know that the same math priority standards have been taught, met, and they're proficient. So,
now, is this through the is it the legislature's job to do this, or is it the state Department of Education?
It should be through the State Board of Education. So guidance is being given by legislators.
Okay, so how does that work? Guidance by they create a law.
If they create a law, then these are things that these are expectations that have to be followed.
Okay. So let's go back to critical race theory, because I mean, for years I've heard about it. I've heard lots of different things about it. I've heard people say it's a terrible thing. They're changing history, and that it's in all the schools, that it's pervasive. And you're saying it's not that.
It's the same thing. Like we've been told, we have litter boxes in the schools. We don't have litter boxes in the school. So. Again, social media, and there are. I'm not going to say there isn't any district or anybody that's perfect in what we're doing, but we are becoming very sensitive due to the social pressures that are out there. But to say that schools are specifically doing this, I would disagree. So some of this curriculum and stuff has been taught even when I was in school, but the wording and so how it's worded or what we're doing and aligning to what those standards are. So we as a district, with Dr. Miller and the staff, are really taking a hard look at our curriculum. What are our resources? What are we looking at? Same thing with the libraries. I mean, some of these books that are in question have been in the libraries even when I was probably in kindergarten. So you can't read them all, but over time, understanding what people have concerns with and reevaluating that. But to say we're intentional with what we're doing, critical race theory is not part of what we're doing. We're trying to teach standards. Get kids ready for that college and career readiness and ready for the real world. So really critical race theory is a doctoral level philosophy that is it's just so far above what we're trying to do in K-12 public education, and that's getting our kids ready for the real world.
So would maybe if you were a doctoral student at a college – and you're getting ready for your teaching career, would you maybe be, quote, indoctrinated, air quotes around that word, with critical race theory and then maybe bring it to our schools?
No, I think it's a topic that you would research to understand what it's about. But, again, it's all a personal choice. So, I'm going to be honest, every state and every community around the United States has a different perception of what that looks like. But I think it's very unfair to say that Wyoming is doing the same thing as Florida or some of the districts in California. We're just Buffalo, especially. We're a very conservative. We got culture, we got family, we have a lot of things that are a lot different out there. But you know what? We have the open ranges. We just have county fairs that you talk to some people back east and what's a county fair? Okay. We're just a different culture, and I think that's what we love about Johnson County and the state of Wyoming.
So you said there's 140 bills that affect education being debated right now in the
legislature? So at one point in time, there was 140 on the House side, and I think 150 maybe something in the Senate side, that at some point in time have some type of connection to education. And what those look like, and not all of them. There's just a relation. That's just the number of bills. But when you look at the bill list when we went through it, so we started at Senate File 101, and I think there was a Senate File 158. So there are bills in between that piece that are probably not necessarily educational. But if you narrow it down, there's probably at least 30 or 40 really important educational bills that we kind of need to keep an eye on.
And so in the committees, they discuss these, and then some of them just never, they just say, no, we're not going to talk about that with the whole legislature. But a lot of them, I mean, every one of them takes time. I mean, how do they have the time to do that? Because I'm sure there's other things.
There are other bills that are out there. So they go to committee, they come back. So the last, I think yesterday or the day before is the last day to bring a new bill to the table. So we'll start filtering out what's going to make it to the next stage and what's going to cross over from the House to the Senate, from the Senate to the House, and do those. So for me is watching, again, that the ECA bills. There's one
ECA.
Basically our cost of living adjustments. So there are two different bills that both the House and Senate are not really on the same page with, which traditionally goes to committee and then it might not move forward. There's some discussion about how we fund schools. If we go back to local districts or local communities doing bond issues, that's some conversation around how we fund school buildings.
Really?
And just discussions.
Uh-huh.
There's the one bill that we're really watching in relation to pulling the teacher salaries and benefits out of the model and being more strict with that. And that's 80% of our funding. And we really got to keep the focus on I know everybody doesn't like lawsuits, but the Campbell suits brought in the block funding model for a reason, because it allows local boards, which are elected by their communities, to help determine how the funding is spent. The block model is just nothing more than a formula that generates the funds. So we want to watch some of that.
It felt like in my years, you know, following this more closely, that every year we were very worried about the legislature cutting, you know, our funding for the district. And we generally didn't get cuts, but a lot of times didn't get enough to give teachers a cost of living raise, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Does it look like it's a cut this year?
As of right now, we're all hoping. There's no talks about cuts. So it's
good.
But let's be real. Our economy is a boom and bust economy due to the minerals. And so, no, this year it would be very hard for legislation to have a conversation about cutting school funding when we're already below the required funding level that we're supposed to be. So over the past couple of years, we had our legislative grace model. So the actual cost, which went through recalibration, which I know you're familiar with. So we were always above that. Well, now we're below the required cost of meeting the basket of goods again.
So how can the legislature put laws in place that make you meet a basket of goods, but then on the conversely not give you enough money to do that?
So those are the conversations. I mean, that's why there's a lawsuit. That's why we're talking about some of those things that, can be very lengthy in that. But I also want to point out there are still a lot of legislators that want to support education. They know the value of it. They know that piece. But to understand the struggle that there's a fight over how we fund education, it shouldn't be that hard. But reality is, coming back to the boom and bust, we're not in a bust time. And, you know, we're going to put close to well over $1 billion. Some people say $2 billion away in savings. And with our economy the way it is, and giving our teachers and giving school districts an opportunity to kind of do that, not only recruit and retain piece with our salaries, I think is a critical point to continue to look at.
I would say 20 years ago, I was incredibly fiscally conservative when it came to taxes and that kind of thing. But after learning a lot about educational funding, I'm not quite so conservative, because we've got to have the best teachers in front of our kids. We've got to have the programs. You know, we want our kids to be successful.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, there's so much evidence that says directly that, you know, the quality of teacher and the quality of staff that are in front of the kids determines your outcome. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's what we want.
It's about good people. And, you know, you also have to be, you have to look down the road 5 to 10 years. And that's what we're trying to do is, how do we get systems in place so you keep good people? And, you know, but we have a lot of people, not only just Johnson County, around the state of Wyoming, the veterans that are probably be looking to retire, and the pool coming up is not as plentiful as it used to be.
Right.
And so those veteran teachers, how do you keep them involved to mentor the ones that are here, create those master teachers? But there's a lot of evidence out there. It's not about the program. It's about the teacher.
Yeah.
And what you do and how you're successful. And that sometimes is just over time. Kids coming out of college, I was one of those. It's kind of a, you have a degree, but you're baptized by fire, and you only get better over time. And we have some pretty amazing teachers in this district and community, but we also have some veteran teachers that have a lot of knowledge that we need to make sure that we keep around so that they can kind of mentor and support. Because everybody deserves an opportunity to retire.
And yay!
We just want to make sure that that we don't lose things as these teachers retire.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. Well, let's touch really quickly. So we've kind of exhausted legislative topics, although really not. But tell us a
that
few
could be
other
a long conversation.
Exactly.
We'll never come up with a solution.
Ever.
But anyway, yep.
Tell us a little bit more about what's going on in the district just this next week and last week, whatever, and catch us up to date.
Well, I think district wide, we're you know, I cannot believe we're already at the end of January, to be honest with you. So we're well into the second semester. We're starting to talk about budgets. Stress level is pretty high here at the district level. We're trying to implement a whole new business software as we continue to manage as we're moving. So with that is talking about budgets for next year, where we're going to land, kind of what that staffing looks like, who can we hire, who can't we hire back, taking all the training that we had on federal grants, that 2-day intense training, and now honestly being way overwhelmed. There's just a lot of stuff there that a lot of people around the district and the nation didn't know about. So how do we start changing our protocols so that we don't find ourselves in the position that we are, you know, and it's 3 years ago. What we're dealing with now happened in 2021, so which was prior to me, but still we don't want to always have a 3-year relapse of how we're doing things. So we have an opportunity for change. And that's sorry, but that's my kind of outlook on life is, all right, we can complain or we can do something about it. So hopefully we'll continue to move in the right direction, but that requires a lot of work. You know, getting things in place, evaluation systems, super excited last week. We are developing what I would consider a very exclusive administrative evaluation system with our principals that is going to be unique and hopefully kind of be cutting edge, I would say, because we're developing it based around state standards. We're having Mitch Kraft help us lead through that. So we're developing something that's about how do you grow administrators and not do gotcha model, which leads into trying to shift from a gotcha teaching evaluation to a growth model.
That's awesome.
So yeah. All of those things, in addition to teaching kids and dealing with it every day, have been happening in the last 2 weeks. So we've had a lot of PD, obviously.
PD, professional development. Mm-hmm.
But we did a full week of TAC 1. TAC 1 started on Monday at 7 a.m. in the morning. We'd go till about 7 or 8 at night, and we did that every day of the week until Saturday, even on Saturday in local law enforcement. So there's a lot of great things happening. We have state cheer happening hopefully today with the weather.
Where's that? Is that in
it
Casper?
It was supposed to be in Casper. So junior high activities are up and rolling. And I just can't say enough. Building administrators and teachers are working super hard. And but if you've been in education at all, you know that once February hits, it's a downhill slope. and it's going to go very quick. So
yeah.
it's not going to be boring. It'll be exciting.
Well, great. Well, when do you expect to kind of hear what the outcome is from the legislative session and how it affects Johnson County?
So great question. So really excited that we have potentially five board members going down to the legislative forum next weekend in Cheyenne, along with Connie, myself, the business manager, myself. So going down there, going to attend the legislative session, have dinner with some of our local leadership. So we'll be able to have more answers with kind of bills will start sorting out and really filtering to what's important or what they're going to focus on. So we'll know more about that. But just knowing that I have a board of trustees and we have at least four to five that are going down there to understand the process, to support this community and support this district is super exciting.
I think you have a great board going forward. It's exciting to see the good changes happening in Johnson County.
There will be a suburban load of excitement headed to Cheyenne.
Great, great. And I think they're going to some trainings, too,
absolutely. This month. If the weather allows, it is tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
But we will see. You know, meteorologists are 50% right, 50% wrong. But we are supposed to get 6 to 12 inches starting tonight. So
yeah. And they're supposed to go to Casper?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they can make it to one of the sessions. And I bet, bet the School Board Association will do some things.
They will do something different, yeah.
Great. Well, Charles, I think we've exhausted our time together today. You've got so much on your plate, so I will let you alone. And we'll interview again in the next week or two.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, wait. Let me see how I turn this off. Oops.